Hi, Peter.
Hello, Kevin.
Hi, you wrote the book We Love Events. It's a book actually in Dutch.
Yes.
But in the latest edition, there is a very interesting part on events in Corona times.
Yes. Because at a certain moment, the editor, he called me and said, Peter, there is a sixth edition coming in September. So, well, if there is a sixth edition, we can do some changes. And of course, I think that right now, you cannot write something about the marketing of events and about events without looking at Corona. What's happening? What is Corona doing to events? So it would be a little bit strange not to talk about Corona in 2020. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you start the book with a strong opinion. You were mentioning that most of the virtual events are deadly boring.
Yeah, they are deadly boring. We have live streams, but sometimes you wonder if the guy isn't dead there on the other side, if it's not a dead streamer, especially with DJ sets. I don't know how DJs think that looking at the DJ standing in his living room or our bedroom or bathroom or kitchen, whatever, and just bringing something, filming something from a perspective that you only see like this. So no, I'm a DJ right here. You see, I'm the DJ, and then you get very boring, and you just. This is like, what's interesting to look at the DJ? So I think it's very important what we can learn out of that is that production value is very, very important within virtual events.
Do you have some examples of virtual events of which you think were worth it?
Well, there's one virtual event somewhere October, the Billie Eilish show, I think it was October, was really a virtual event. That it was a virtual event that used the possibilities of the virtual event. So there was a lot of extended reality. Every track was a different setup with different graphics and so on. So you looked at it, and it was something that you just you couldn't stop looking at it. It was really, of course, Billie Eilish is also a great performer, and still there was a lot of spontaneity. It was not like a overproduced show. Mm-hmm. But the extended reality made it into something different than just a copy of a real-time live. Very good show, Billie Eilish.
But I think that's part of the ascension of, obviously, that something virtual cannot be just copy-paste of live.
Look, I think that one of the very strange events was Nick Cave. Nick Cave did a show... alone at the Crystal Palace, whatever. It was just like Nick Cave doing a live show at the piano, and that's it. The amazing thing, or the very almost awkward thing, was that he wasn't even there. It was a pre-recorded show that he just was transmitting and presenting it as some kind of stream. And people had to pay to look at Nick Cave doing the show, so you just were looking at some kind of video. Maybe Nick Cave was going fishing somewhere. He was fishing, and so I think that you cannot communicate. There's no self-expression. There's no expression. It's just like a DVD you're looking at. I didn't get it. What that was copy live based virtual, and it's good for fans, for real fans, for diehard fans, but not for. Just to look at.
I don't know whether you look at the Apple keynotes or not, but I had the same feeling with those. Before, it was kind of exciting to see the community and to see the interaction with the audience. And now with a pre-recorded show, it's...
it doesn't work. The Apple shows were like one more thing. Yeah? And so this was the moment everybody was waiting for, one more thing. And Steve Jobs getting out some kind of iPod, so it's very small, whatever. Yeah. So he knew, Steve Jobs, he knew how to do things and how to use the virtual platform to be more than just a copy paste. I think that's very important, not to copy paste. If you do copy paste, the only thing you get is like, if you like to drink beer, Kevin?
Yeah, occasionally, yes.
Yeah, okay. So,
that's the political correct answer.
So just think that somebody gives you beer without alcohol. If you like to drink a real beer, well, you drink beer without alcohol and you say, oh my God, I miss the real thing.
Yeah.
So, and that's if you do a copy paste of a real time event into a virtual event, it even makes you miss more the real time event. If you look at Nick Cave sitting there, you say, yeah, I want to see Nick Cave in the Roma in Antwerp or in Sportpaleis. I want to see a real live show of Nick Cave. Yep. It's beer without alcohol.
What did you think of Tomorrowland? That's a worldwide example.
Yeah, yeah. If you look at the production of Tomorrowland, it was amazing. They used also an engine of a game platform for the production. It was amazing. But sometimes I had the feeling with some DJs just standing there and doing like this, and so where then you have to see all the people doing the same thing. Yeah, that's what Tomorrowland is about creating magic of the masses. Mm-hmm. So it was not magic of the masses. They tried to create the magic of me sitting there. So it was also with some of the DJ sets. I got the impression of beer without alcohol or champagne without sparkles. You have champagne there in your decor and decoration there. So it's champagne without the bubbles. Without the bubbles. There was one set of Eric Pritz. Mm-hmm. That really was amazing. Also a set that wasn't a copy-paste of a DJ set, but was a set designed especially for the virtual event. Storytelling, good music, great graphics. Really, you just were looking at it, and even if you didn't like the music so much, you continue. You just kept on looking at the DJ performance. Great. Eric Pritz.
So, if I'm correct, what was mainly missing was some interaction with the audience.
Well, yeah, if you can have an interaction with the audience, then that's a surplus, of course. Mm-hmm. But Tomorrowland, there was no interaction because you could not make an account and just be part of the audience there. So. A good example of where there was interaction, and I think gaming is always is showing the way, because gaming is some kind of virtual event, was Travis Scott in Fortnite, where the gamers all had an avatar, and they just could interact. Gaming is about interaction. Sometimes it looked a little bit funny, all those gamers with some fire and making some strange movements. But anyway, people can interact with each other. And they have some kind of the impression of interacting with the artist, because you're just standing at this distance of Travis Scott. You're looking at Travis Scott. Oh, my God. So I think it's important to get that interaction within virtual events.
Do you think that model of Fortnite-like virtual events could also work for B2B?
Well, I think what it shows Fortnite is that the interaction is important. And of course, with B2B events are about interaction. Mm-hmm. So you do not even have to push the people to interact. You go there, and the success of a B2B event is just if people interact, it's a successful event. I find it amazing that some of the platforms that you can use, I think it's Hyperfair or something, you can use it, and the first thing you do is that you get into a dressing room and you can choose your outfit to go to the virtual event. That's a way of self-expression, adding some self-expression and being part of the event. And of course, then you can make a chat room and you can leave your business card and so on. So I think for virtual events, for B2B events, that virtual events are very, very promising. Yeah. Why should you take a plane and go to Uppsala to go to some kind of fair if I just can visit it right here? To meet some friends.
In your book, you're not only talking about the traditional events like festival concerts and so on, but also about, for example, Formula One.
Yeah. I think that especially for sport events, you want to see the sport event in the moment, mm-hmm. because it's what is happening right now. The goal, you want to see the goal, and you want to be the first to see the goal. And it's something different with the show of Coldplay or Rammstein or whatever. You just can look at it at YouTube, and it still has the same value after 1 year looking at it. So sport events are about staying in the moment, and that's why they are so they make a lot of money with the broadcast rights, broadcasting television, mm-hmm. Netflix, Formula One with how is it called, the fantastic Drive to Survive or something, or Drive whatever, mm-hmm. a great docu on Netflix, and they pay a lot of money just to broadcast the event. Mm-hmm. And I think it shows that it shows possibilities, but not for live shows. I do not think that for live shows, for a Coldplay, whatever, you will not pay to see them in the moment live.
Yeah. What is kind of different in the Formula One example is that they also have that virtual or their own platform in yes. which you can be in the cockpit of a driver and so on.
Yeah, that's great. So that's a good example of not seeing virtual as just a copy paste of mm-hmm. the real time event. So they think about the possibilities of people sitting at home, a screen, and just change, and you can get in the cockpit of Max Verstappen. I was at Francorchamps a year ago, where Max Verstappen just at first in the first corner, he just hit the wall, whatever, finished after about 15 seconds. Sitting at Francorchamps, you see it is something happening far away, and that's it. And people start taking their smartphones to check, what happened? Mm-hmm. So if you look at the platform of Formula One, you can see that crash from 20 different angles, and you can just sit and at Max Verstappen and you see what happens. So it's like, and that shows the good thing that it is, if Corona goes away, that it will be an and story. You will look at your smartphone while you are at a real-time event, and it will be a surplus.
Yeah. In the book, you're also talking about excuse content and money content. What do you mean with that?
Well, I think that we pay to go to a real event. We mm-hmm. pay to go to a real event. But of course, we're so used that the virtual world, that's for free. Again, look at gaming. Fortnite, you don't have to pay for Fortnite. You only have to pay once when you're at level 20 or something. Or you just pay for a skin or an attribute or whatever. The game is excuse content. Excuse content to get you to money content. And I think that this blueprint, I think it's an interesting blueprint also for events where you have to see your show, your performance, your live stream, and not your dead stream, but your live stream. Think of Andrea Bocelli in Milan, mm-hmm. Where a show, Easter, for Hope, Show for Hope, something like that. It was for free. And you looked at it, and it had a great production value. So it did cost a lot of money to make that content, but it was excuse content to bring you to the merchandise of Andrea Bocelli. So, and then you just pay money for the merchandise. I think that take Tomorrowland or mm-hmm. our Awakenings or Wuha or Werchter. If music is played by a DJ, why not just add a button, buy this track? give this track away. So it means that you do not have to pay for Awakenings Tomorrowland. You have to pay for Tomorrowland. You do not have to pay for Awakenings. That's excuse content. But then you just pay money for the music, for a t-shirt, maybe for something to eat that they bring at home, and so on and so on. So excuse content, free, that brings you to money content.
Okay, Peter. Thank you very much for sharing your thoughts on virtual events.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. And you at home, thank you for watching our show. I hope to see you next week.